podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
This World Cup, and now this is Lloyd Williams charging for all he's worth. Oh, it might work for Wales. They're going to score under the posts. And it's Gareth Davies who's been one of the stars.
Welcome to the Attacking Scrum podcast, another Rugby World Cup special for you. This one coming to you all the way from Nantes. And myself and Dan have been here for a good few hours now. We've had a fantastic day, cracking trip over. Plenty of coffee for Dan, a few beers. We've had a good night watching France demolish Italy in the local bars here. Real atmosphere building in terms of the French side, but obviously we're here for Wales, and it feels a bit strange actually, Dan, being here knowing that we're going to be going through to the quarterfinals, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit of a bizarre feeling, isn't it? We don't usually have this.
My biggest fear was this game was going to be a dead rubber, and we're already out. And the fact that it's, you know, we need one losing bonus point to top the group. It's a brilliant position to be in.
It's a great position, even though there's not a great deal riding on the game. I still think it's an absolute must win in terms of confidence. So I'm. There's still a fair bit in it for me, but I know you're on the other side, aren't you? Well, it's like super relaxed.
I feel relaxed about it, but I know what you mean. There's a lot to be said for building momentum, and
especially with this side, I think.
Do you?
Well, when you think of where we've come from in a relatively quick period of time, you can very quickly lose that, can't you? I think we're in a different place now altogether. But still, I think, you know, Gatland will see this as a game that is critically important, I think, and that we need to win. He doesn't mention that, does he? But it's all
Do you think the team selection reflects that, the way that,
yeah,
yes, there's been some changes, but at the same time it's not the wholesale changes that we saw against Portugal. It is six changes and players who are, you know, would be on the verge of the side anyway.
Yeah, I think he's been quite clever with his changes, isn't he? We know that when we do make wholesale changes, it very rarely works for us. We seem to lose all continuity. I mean, the one game where it's worked wonderfully well in the past is that Tonga game that me and you went to how long ago was that?
2018, I think, yeah.
5 years ago. Other than that, it's never really worked. I think, you know, we've had quite a long layoff, so we need to see a lot of the combinations the boys play again. So, yeah, I think his selection does reflect the fact that we're putting out a very strong side. And, you know, I think he knows his side for sure.
Agreed.
But a number of the boys will, you know, they'll have to have incredibly good games. Will it still be enough, even if they have, you know, man of the match performances? I probably think not, but it's going to still be competition, isn't it? Competition for places, and he's looking at the injuries as well. So yeah, it's a strong side we got going out.
Yeah, it is, and it's interesting now what you say about some of the players. And I agree. I think he knows his best 15. I think there's a few players playing for bench positions. I think Dewey Lake needs to have a very big game in order to make that. I think Tommy Reffel is one who's probably playing for a bench position in the quarterfinal. But I mean, you're right though, there's more to it than that. This is the end of the pool stages, and if you can just go into that quarterfinal with confidence, whoever it's against, getting a good win. I think it's more about a good performance against Georgia as much as anything. I don't think you need to go out and try and target a 50-point win, but if you get a good performance and all the units look really aligned, the line-out goes well, the scrum goes well, and there's some nice moves in the back, I think it does build really well ahead of heading to Marseille.
Yeah, it does. And that's what you know, Gatland sides tend to do, don't they? We're really organised. Everybody knows their roles, and he keeps it nice and simple. And if that happens, then, and we're pragmatic, we should win the game comfortably. Coming back to your point about, you know, boys playing for positions on the bench, I honestly think that Derry Lake, if he has a man of the match performance, I still don't think he makes the quarterfinal squad. I think Elias is a shoo-in, and I think Elliot D will be on the bench. A lot of people probably disagree with that, but that's what I think. But I do agree that Raffel,
let's say 16 out of 16 lineouts, 2 tries, man of the match, scrum goes well, and he's still not in that side for you.
Yeah, I think on past performances, I just can't see him dropping D. I think Elias is a shoo-in to start.
Agreed, absolutely agreed.
And this you know, he's rested. I can't see D. You know, he's so reliable in his position. Gatland's always been a big fan of D, isn't he? Pivak wasn't. I know he's had a few injuries, but Gatland likes him. He doesn't let us down. His line out throwing is excellent, is it? He can come on and throw back ball. Gives us another option. I just, you know, when you put it like that, yeah, could he creep in? I think Derby Lake's time will come, definitely. Mm. But I think it's not going to be in this World Cup.
I agree, and I think that...
He'll still have a great role, though, yeah, to play.
And I think, you know, whatever happens, Lake is going to be a star of, you know, a star for Wales going forward. He's just got...
Agreed, yeah.
He's such a physical presence. His ball carrying is so good. He tackles so hard. As we know, the only bit that... his leadership is fantastic. The only bit that he's missing is his darts can be iffy. And if I'm honest, I thought his time was going to come during this World Cup. However, Elias has been absolutely superb to start with. And you're right, you just can't fault D coming off the bench and making a really positive impact in doing that. So, yeah, it's very, very tricky. I mean, we'll see. Whatever happens, I really do hope he has a big game and causes a selection headache for Gatland.
Yeah, well, I mean, Gatland clearly really likes him, as I do, you know. But, you know, making him his co-captain, I just think that that co-captain thing, he's still going to have... If he doesn't make the squads, you know, when it gets through to the knockout, he'll still have a... It's still going to be a massive honour, isn't it? It's still a massive honour to be co-captain. He'll have a big presence around the squad. And I still think it'll serve him very well. Raffel, everybody's talking about Jack Morgan, and quite rightly so. But Raffel's a phenomenal player, isn't he? Still only 24, loads of experience.
Same scenario then, Dan. Tommy Raffel wins 4 turnovers in the game, 100% tackle completion rate, grabs a breakaway try as well. Could he oust Jack Morgan from the seven shirt under any scenario?
Puts in a drop goal. I think there is a possibility, yes, later on into the... Well, let's say we...
Go on.
Okay, let's say we get...
Got your flights booked for Paris as well, have you?
Yeah, well... let's say we get... If we win the quarter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Depending on who we face, I think there could potentially be an argument if we're looking to be over the ball more. It's hard to imagine that at the moment, isn't it, with Jack Morgan? There's so much chat about him. By the way, he's unbelievable, but the Raffel is as well.
Mm.
So it could be a case of looking at how we're going to win. And Gatland's a master tactician, I think, in terms of the selections and sort of getting one up on size in terms of working out where we can get an advantage. So I wouldn't rule it out.
I mean, again, I'm trying to think back over the years and think the odd occasion where he's done that. I think of the occasions where he picked Paul James against Australia because he thought, right, he'll be more of a scrummaging threat than Gethin Jenkins.
What a great prop.
It was a great prop, yeah.
Both sides.
Strong as an ox on both sides, yeah. And I think there's the odd occasion like that. At the moment, I think in Jack Morgan, you have a player who is playing so well, I just don't see any scenario where you can drop him. I think Raffel's fantastic, but I think Raffel will be very much geared up to coming off the bench for the quarterfinal. Again, regardless of how he gets on.
Do you think we could see both of them?
Nope. Back row balance is so good. you know, Wainwright, again, I think, you know, obviously we mentioned this with Murph a couple of weeks ago. It is like you've had a time machine and you've got the same Aaron Wainwright from 2019. Athletic, explosive, line out option, gets through so much grunt work as well. Tackles, defending line outs, so, so influential that, you know, he's the six that we were looking for before the World Cup that we'd kind of completely forgotten about. Morgan at seven is, you know, this perfect blend of a ball carrier, good over the ball, intelligent footballer, and Toby's Toby.
Yeah.
I don't see any scenario where you'd risk mixing and matching to pick two sevens in that back row.
Yeah. No, it's a good point. We've definitely found a balance, haven't we, in that back row that we haven't had for quite a while. So it's hard to imagine sort of a time that you would disrupt that, but there's something with Raffle that, you know, I just wonder whether we may, you know, we may see him coming into that back row. Only time will tell.
Yeah, I don't see it in this World Cup. I think it's again Raffle's time will come.
With Derby then.
Yeah. I think it's going to be really difficult. I think even if both of them have brilliant performances, it's going to be very difficult to break into that side. But you never know. I mean, the other thing, Dan, is, and we mentioned this on the way over, that we've not had any injury concerns throughout this World Cup. And that's...
It might be forced, yeah.
Yeah, and that's very rare. And that, let's be honest, it's likely to happen at some point. So it is important to keep that whole 33-man squad interested, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And it seems like he, you know, Gatland's got that. It seems like a very happy camp, doesn't it?
Oh yeah,
certainly from the outside. And you can sort of sense it, can't you? So, yeah, it's a good point. No one talks about injuries. We've been pretty lucky at the moment, haven't we? Pretty plain sailing. Fingers crossed. Touching the headboard at the moment.
Touching plywood, yeah.
Yeah, hopefully that continues. Yeah. Any other selections that you think?
I don't know. For me, it's one of those where that squad selection looked great. I think you don't risk bigger. The momentum's with Anscombe, which again probably brings us on to the next one. You know, something that we've...
Yeah.
This brings us right back to the last World Cup then.
Number 10.
Let's say Anscombe goes really well again against Georgia. Who starts the quarterfinal?
I don't think it's clear-cut that... The bigger starts. If Anscombe goes well again, the backs do move differently under Anscombe. He poses a very different threat, doesn't he? And when he's purring, he's beautiful to watch, isn't he?
Yeah.
Bigger is beautiful in a different way. It did work so well, didn't it? Where we did have Anscombe starting. Bigger coming in off the bench. Bigger obviously hated that, but when he came on, he just controlled, and, you know, we just looked so composed, didn't we? So I do think that there is a chance that Anscombe could move into that number one position, actually. Big call that. Again, maybe it'll come down to who we're playing against.
All right, so scenarios then. There's three possible scenarios for who we're going to play in that quarterfinal, really. It's you know, let's assume that we get that one match point that we need to top the group, which takes England out of the equation. It means it's Argentina or Japan. I mean, is there realistically a play to have, you know, would that matter tactically? Who you pick to 10, or do you just pick whoever you think the best 10 is?
In the
quarter final, yeah.
No, I don't think it would be so important out of those two for that particular game.
But who would you start then?
I think it would be the one after.
Who would you start for the quarters?
If Anscombe goes well tomorrow and the back line purrs, I'd stick with Anscombe and have...
Bigger
have Bigger come off the bench, yeah. I think it's what an amazing option to have when we didn't.
For some reason, you using the words "the backline purring" has started to sway me, because prior to that, I just thought pick bigger all day long. As brilliant as Anscombe was against Australia, big as the one in the box seat, but
I just think we haven't the backline. We haven't looked. I thought we looked dangerous against Australia. Mm. I like the way he sort of takes the ball, takes the ball flat, and I think Anscombe, when his tails are up as well and the momentum's with him, I think it'd be a real shame to stop that. He was so good against Australia. If he goes again, if the whole side goes well again, I think Gatland is looking towards this as well. I do. If he goes really well against Georgia, I could see him giving him that shirt.
Is there something as well, having because competition for places, we always think, if you're head coach of a club side or a region, right, having competition for places is great because people are pushing each other throughout the course of a season. Generally, you probably want more of a settled side when it comes to major tournament rugby and knockout rugby. Do you see a scenario where it is better for Gatland to almost know, or sorry, for Gatland to not know who his best 10 is and say, right, come on, give me a real selection headache here?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question, really, because the obvious thing is to probably say no, because you want to know who your 10 is, and actually, everyone else outside
of that.
Builds around the 10, but I actually think that because when we are bigger, we rely so much on individual plays that he does. So whether it's a kick, it's a kick chase, he regains it, we go again, or monster kick to the corner, a masterclass from him. But it's a lot of big plays from him. Anscombe works the team in a very different way, but sometimes it doesn't quite work, does it? It's going to be really interesting to see how he goes with 9, because he worked so well with Gareth.
Mm.
And he hasn't got Gareth. He knows Thomas, but will it work? So, that's an interesting dynamic as well. But there's something. It's kind of like when Wales were purring under Priestland.
Stop saying purring.
It's getting into your head, though, isn't it? The back line, we were fizzing, weren't we?
Yeah.
And there was something in that Australia performance that I really liked.
Interesting.
With having him at 10.
Interesting. Lots and lots to mull over ahead of this game. And we're going to continue mulling these things over and seeing if that back line does get purring when we go into the second part of the show. But first, we're going to take this quick break. Listening to the attacking scrum at the Rugby World Cup, and we're genuinely here. We are here now. Well, it's not live when this goes out, Dan. It's live while we're recording this, but it's not going to be live when it goes out, is it? Because this will go out early in the morning. But
1 o'clock in the morning.
Thank you for ruining that link, nonetheless.
You can always rely on me for that.
You can indeed. Dropping the ball over the try line. But you are still listening to the attacking scrum at the Rugby World Cup. Thanks to our sponsors at MSG Tours for getting us over here. We are so excited to be here, and we're going to be bringing you more stuff throughout the course of this weekend as well. So make sure that you subscribe to the Attacking Scrum on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify, wherever you keep up to date with your podcasts. But we're heading towards Wales, Georgia. And Dan, this is the thing that I find really, really weird, is we are talking about the quarterfinals and it's not getting ahead of ourselves, because we know we've got one to prepare for. And
feels a bit wrong though, doesn't it?
It does, but how much do you think that's a positive for the Welsh camp? Is there a danger that you take your eye off the ball for the Georgia game, or do you think Gatland's got them really well drilled for this?
I think Gatland have them really well drilled. I've got no hesitation in saying that either. I think they're so well drilled, and he won't allow them to get carried away or anything like that. But I think there'll be a quiet confidence with their everything. Will be on this next game building, and everything will be mapped out. with a plan moving forward, and everyone knows exactly what, you know, what's got to be done. And I think that those that are playing, as important, you know, the ones that aren't playing are as important as the ones playing. It seems like he's got a really good cohesion going, doesn't it? Really, really happy camp, and that's massive, huge for us to go, you know, that little bit further. But we look confident, don't we? Feel quite confident about the game tomorrow as well.
I think you're right. It is about momentum, and it is about getting a good result and building to that quarter final. And I mean, from there,
dream?
We always said that we were fortunate that we're on the easy side of the draw, and the thing was, get out of the group and anything can happen. And we are out of the group, and anything can happen now, because, you know, realistically, we're going to be playing Argentina or Japan, neither of whom to this point have set the World Cup on fire. You know, there is always a danger that Argentina have a big game in them, as they've shown, yeah, you know, in the Rugby Championship. They've, you know, over the years, they've had a heavy defeat against South Africa one week and then beating New Zealand the next. You know, you cannot take them for granted. But would I rather be in their position or ours? I'd definitely rather be in ours, would you?
Yeah, I would. I mean, they can be a tricky side in the World Cup, can't they? They've, as you say, once that anthem starts, the emotion kicks in. They can spring a sort of a surprise performance out of somewhere, even if they've had a dire couple of games or whatever. They've got it within them, haven't they, to really rally the troops and go well. I'd much rather play Japan, which is an obvious thing to say, but they're not the same Japan as we've known, are they?
No, far, I think they're far from it. They're not the same as the 2019 side.
We spoke about it. Japan could beat them. You know, do they have a game in them? That could happen. But I don't think we can look too far beyond that game, because that's knockout then. And
it's the biggest sporting cliche in the book, isn't it, about taking one game at a time?
It is, but
I think you have to.
On that, I mean, you know, we lose, we're out. You know, it's.
Yeah, but I mean, even the game against Georgia, I think you have to look at what's in front of you, because otherwise you get caught up and you end up, even if you win with a clunky performance, you stutter with that momentum. Yeah. So I do think you've got to look at what's in front of you, and if we can finish the group stage with a bang, it'll give a lot of confidence ahead of the quarterfinal, and from there anything's possible. But anything is possible. So I think it is just about getting the right result in each of these games.
What I think is, if we beat Georgia convincingly with a good solid display, combinations go well, I think we win that quarterfinal.
Based on what we've seen, I think not winning the quarterfinal would be a disappointment, whoever we play.
It would be, but we have done fantastically well to get to the, you know, to if you look where we are now, you take that before the tournament starts.
Cast your mind back to Six Nations and how poor it was.
Yeah.
You know, and how the size, we didn't know anything close. In fact, even going into the World Cup warm-ups, we didn't know even close to what the best 15-23 was.
No, I mean, I read that message out earlier, didn't I, from my buddy Gareth, that said that the boys have made us proud. They really have, haven't they? Already. And the coaches have. You know, we were speaking about the coaches earlier, wouldn't we? What a job all of those coaches have done. You know, for sure. Gats, obviously.
Alex King, yeah.
Jonathan Thomas, Humphrey. You know, they've all, every single one of them has done fantastically well. But who's at the very top there? Gatland.
Does it put to bed this myth that Gatland without Edwards is not the same coach?
Yeah, has to. The defence that we've seen has been incredible, hasn't it?
Oh, to this point, it has been phenomenal. The ability to soak up pressure and just make tackle after tackle, kind of not even really competing at the breakdown and just going, right, we're just going to tackle all day long.
Yeah, tackle all day long, back the defence, but also tactically, that game against Australia was, you know, perfect almost. It's difficult to say that it was perfection, but Gats identified again, didn't he, with those little bits where we could get those advantages. And whether it's Gats or whether it's the other team, he gets the right people in and around him, doesn't he? And he's done it again. So he's the man, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, it has been a brilliant turnaround from where we were in February, March time. And so much of this, we've said it before, yeah, we must have said this numerous times, but he's the master of getting a tune out of players ahead of a World Cup. He knows how to prepare players for a World Cup. When he's got that extended period of time that you don't have in the Six Nations or the Autumn, he just turns players, they step up another level.
Yeah, it's absolutely remarkable what he does. You look at Gareth Davis when he's brought him back from,
He looks like a new player, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. He looks as good as we've ever seen. And when he is, he's firing, he's leading that defence. He's obviously, brought in a massive amount of confidence to him. We all thought that he was probably gone. Third choice at the Scarlets. And suddenly, he's back. Wainwright, in obscurity, gone. There's a couple of others, isn't there? Elliot D.
Yeah.
Adam
Beard, I would say, has been rehabilitated in the last few games.
Yeah, you saw when I was there in Lyon. I think
Tom Francis.
Tom Francis, his work rate absolutely everywhere, isn't he? Got him into unbelievable shape, hitting so many rucks, getting through a mountain of work. Adam Beard, I think he was winning his 50th cap.
In Lyon. Yeah.
Yeah, so he was so up for that game, going round to the crowd and giving the fist pumps. Gats has always defended him, hasn't he, as well, and said that he's obviously technically a very good player, but you're not gonna see the flashy stuff from him, which you do see with other second rows. That's not Adam Beard, but he looks rejuvenated because he was having probably a difficult spell. Very different Adam Beard. Toby, out of this world.
Mm.
And how many people were saying that Gatland is I remember hearing Gatland's nothing without Sean Edwards. Well, that's definitely not the case.
Yeah, it certainly looks that way, and hopefully there'll be plenty more performances to back that opinion up. And as you say, good performance against Georgia could put us in a really, really strong position, and hopefully that will be the case. Right, what about this city then, Dan? We're in Nantes. It's twinned with Cardiff, and it feels like there's a bit of Cardiff about it, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah, it's got quite a few similarities, isn't it? You've got the dock, we've got the really cool bar scene, haven't we? We've gone through loads of bars, nice restaurants. Bit of an edgy feel to it, but you still feel pretty safe. There are some similarities. I didn't quite know what to expect with Nantes, but
no, me neither.
So far, really impressed with it. Really like it, and actually, what is this? Fairly late in the day now. Can't wait to get up tomorrow and really get stuck into the day and see a lot more of Nantes.
Yeah, we got loads of stuff lined up. So we're doing a live show probably today as you listeners are listening to it, and that'll be good fun. Catching up with some Welsh supporters as we do that. Hopefully, we'll bring you a few highlights from that show later on in the day. We've got the game itself to look forward to. I think we've got a few. Few interesting things in the evening as well lined up. We've got some Welsh music that hopefully we're going to be taking on as well. Adwaith we're going to be seeing, which should be fantastic. Possibly Sage as well has been knocking around Nantes. So
yeah,
it's
you're gonna be up there as well to be singing a few songs.
Hopefully not. for the sake of everyone else, I hope there's plenty more entertainment that's available rather than that. But yeah, there's gonna be lots going on,
and I think,
go on.
We haven't mentioned. I know there's another game, but the big game will be Ireland Scotland.
Keen to get your take on this, Dan. Have Scotland got it in them?
It's Scotland's year. I'm expecting a big performance from Scotland. I don't know whether it's because I want a big performance from Scotland, but it's a massive game for them. It's a huge game. I think Scotland are going to bring a big game tomorrow. I know you're like, no, can't see it.
Well,
it might be wishful thinking on my part.
I love watching this Scotland side, as you know, purely because I love Finn Russell. But when you said it's a big game for Scotland, that instantly means to me they won't win it.
Pressure.
They don't win big games.
Yeah, no, but that's, yeah.
Yeah, when was the last big game? I know they've beaten England at Twickenham a couple of times and stuff, but they've consistently failed to kind of back those wins up. They've not been a consistent side. I'm not entirely convinced that it's a good thing switching your line out for a big game. I think that, you know, I know we've just been chatting about, you know, about Bigger and Anscombe and stuff like that, but obviously he's taken Ben White out of the firing line because he's not quite clicked this tournament, and he's hoping to get something else in terms of service from Russell. Maybe that's the kind of the big call that is going to make me reassess and say that Gregor Townsend is a really good head coach. But don't know, for me, I think Scotland go into this quite comfortable underdogs, and I see Ireland winning by 15 points.
Yeah, I want to disagree with you, but I can't. I think that Ireland know their game so well, and they will obviously heavily target Finn Russell. I don't think they'll allow him the time that Finn Russell needs to really control and influence the game.
Which is what we saw in the South Africa game, is that Scotland did lots of throwing the ball around all behind the gain line, and largely to very little effect. And Ireland is so good defensively that there's every chance that could happen again, I think.
Yeah, everything he does will have to be six star.
Is that a thing?
No, it is now. And there's just so much pressure on him as well, isn't there? To
me, it's more than just Finn, though. I think, you know, obviously he's a terrific player, but
so much goes through him, doesn't it?
But none of that matters unless you win the collisions up front. You know, rugby is the ultimate collision sport right now, and I think that's going to be the biggest thing, is can they cope? And there seems to be this kind of slight myth about Ireland that they're not a powerful team, because you've seen Ireland or Leinster on the odd occasion get overpowered by very powerful sides. I still think they're more powerful than Scotland.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think it's going to be massive. If Scotland are going to get anything out of the game, they need to get players like Dempsey over the gain line and get the wingers and into the game off the back of some good front football. So I think it's a massive task.
Well, the way in which Scotland, you know, can get into the game is keeping it probably super tight and taking out. So as Ireland are going to be targeting Finn Russell, they need to target Sexton. And you know, send a lot down his channel instead of flinging it wide and trying to get on the outside edge.
Yeah.
I think is actually keeping it tight. I don't think they'll do that though. I think they'll still try and get on the edge. They'll try and get on the outside. But I'd be sending the big, you know, I'd be sending the wingers down his channel as many. But Biden will be wise to that, and they'll protect as well, won't they? Because they they form those pods that are so tight that they're just so well organised that it's really difficult. And then if you switch to the attack play, you know what they're going to do, but you can't stop it. They're a difficult, difficult team.
No kidding. And as much as Scotland will say that they're just going to concentrate on the win first, there is also that added factor that they have to win and deny Ireland a bonus point. Which, how much does that come into play in terms of mindset? Or do you believe them that they say, right, just go out and try and win the game first?
Yeah, I do think they can't even think of winning by, what is it, 8 they've got to win by?
Yeah.
It'll just purely be, we got to win. I don't think it comes into we've got to win by 8 at all. That's too much, isn't it? What do you think?
Yeah, you've just got to go out and win the game and see what's happening in the last 10 minutes. If they're 3 up,
yeah.
If they're 3 up with 7 minutes to go, then you start thinking, right, what do we do now? We've got a penalty. Are we going for the try now? Are we taking the 3 points? But you can't think like that.
No.
The start of the game, go, oh, we're going to try and get a 21-point lead and defend it. You just can't. There are so many things.
There's
that
no
you've
way
got
they
to
would
do
have
on
discussed.
The
they would. No, have, they would have discussed that, will they? They can't have. If you said to me, would you put money on Scotland winning? I wouldn't.
Mm.
But I just really would love to see them get the win. I just think it would be fantastic for the tournament. And you and Justin were saying there's going to be an upset somewhere in the tournament.
We haven't had one yet, have we?
Haven't
really
seen it yet.
Fiji, Australia was probably the biggest one, and I wouldn't say it's a massive upset.
It's not. No, it's not. Is it really? Where will the upset be? Yeah, maybe it'll be deeper into the tournament. But we could we see it this weekend?
Well, if we were, I think that would be the one, wouldn't it? Scotland to get out of that. But I mean, imagine that after that win that Scotland, as the win that Ireland had over South Africa.
Were they lucky?
I'm going to say no, actually. I don't think they were lucky because they matched South Africa for physicality, which is a bloody hard thing to do. They had a very effective game plan. They took their points when they were on offer and South Africa didn't. It's not their fault that South Africa didn't pick a goal kicker on the side. And so no, I'm going to say they weren't lucky. I'm going to say they took their points when they were on offer and South Africa didn't. So yeah, no, if that game was played again and it was the final, and there's every chance it could be the final, long way to go before that, but if that game was played again, South Africa could well win it. But that's kind of what makes it fast. That's what made it such an engrossing contest, is you didn't know who was going to win at any point during that game.
Couldn't take your eyes off the TV.
Couldn't take your eyes off it.
Yeah, the intensity is something else, isn't it, when you watch that game compared to some of the other games. Ireland are a great size, really well coached, well drilled. They're looking in fine form, aren't they? Can they keep it going?
I think they'll keep it going tomorrow to get to the quarterfinals, and then I'm very intrigued to see what happens after that. But we probably shouldn't go any further than that. It's starting to get late now, Dan, as well, so let's put this one to bed, quite literally, get some kip, and we're going to head out and explore Nice. We're going to head out and explore Nantes tomorrow morning. So stick around with us here on the Attacking Scrum. And as always, big thanks to our sponsors at MSG Tours. We'll be bringing you more content as the weekend unfolds. And fingers crossed for a big Wales performance tomorrow and some exciting rugby elsewhere. But we'll be back to chat rugby with you very, very, very soon. Thanks for listening.
Podcast Network.